You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with Game One, where the Hollywood stars were in the center of all the action. We've got the World Series covered right off the top. Then they have reached a terrible place in Texas. The finger pointing has begun. Does Jerry have to do something before the season gets hopelessly away? And then what does Tua time mean for his team this season? Will he be the best rookie quarterback right away? We'll answer that question and many more as we get up with you, starting right now, live as always, from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase, Greeny here, Graziano here, a cast of hundreds, or at least RC, Neek, and Desmond are ready to go talking football in a moment, but we begin with Jessica Mendoza, and game one of the Fall Classic is game of the night last night. Jess, Rays, Dodgers, Tyler Glasnow against Clayton Kershaw, and pick it up right in the first inning because Kershaw was in some trouble right out of the chute.
He had a hard time commanding that slider, his curveball. Early on in this game, the Rays were patient. It looked like he was going to get in a jam and get into trouble, but he gets himself out of it. Two outs, fields this close play at first to get out of that tough first inning for Kershaw.
And then he starts to cruise. Top of four, it's Kershaw against the red-hot Randy Arozarena. He had his number.
Oh, a heavy dose of breaking balls. I don't think Randy Arozarena saw one fastball in all of his at-bats. Between changeups, breaking balls, and sliders, they were able to keep him off balance and keep him off the bases.
Bottom of the fourth now. On the other side, Cody Bellinger always hits Tyler Glasnow, and this was no exception.
Oh, this is why. I mean, you give him fastballs inside. We saw what happened in Game 7, what he did to take the lead against the Braves, just keeping it rolling with the strut and the home run power in this game one.
It's a two-run shot. It's a 2-0 Dodger lead. He's being a little careful in the celebration. Then after getting walked, Mookie Betts became the story of the game. Jessica, watch this.
Huge at-bat to get on first base. Did you see that jump? I mean, Mike Zunino went to throw the ball. Mookie Betts had already stole the base, and it didn't stop there. He stole third base about two pitches later. You just don't see this in baseball anymore, let alone the postseason. Making things happen for the offense is exactly what Mookie Betts was doing.
He's actually the first player with a walk and multiple stolen bases in an inning in the World Series since Babe Ruth in 1921, and then he gets driven in, and that would be all for Glasnow.
Yeah, Mookie Betts ended up scoring before this. Will Smith with the big hit to chase Tyler Glasnow out of this game.
And then top of six, Kershaw is rolling with two outs. He gets Arozarena. Again, he retired 17 of the last 18 batters he faced.
Oh, and this sixth inning, super quick. You've got to understand, Clayton Kershaw, if you've watched any of his postseason outings, it's his sixth inning. He gets in trouble normally.
And then finally, to put the icing on the cake, that's Mookie Betts. Deep to right, 2-for-4, two hits and an RBI for him, a solo shot, and that was all she wrote. The Dodgers take the first chapter of this Fall Classic by final score of 8-3. So L.A. takes game one.
Try to make your pitches, have a good start, and then 4 days from now, try to make another good start. And that's all I think about. I'm not worried about what happened in the past. I'm not worried about good games, bad games, things like that. You wash it. You know, I'm going to celebrate tonight, and if I had a bad one, I would have been disappointed tonight, but tomorrow's a new day, and we're 1-0 in the World Series. That's pretty special, man. We're going to come back and try to do it tomorrow.
Well, special for him in particular because it's so well documented, the struggles he's had in the postseason. Yesterday, however, his fourth postseason outing with two or fewer hits allowed and six-plus innings of work, which ties the baseball postseason record with Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander. So obviously there's been some up and there's been some down for him as we bring Jessica back in. And I opened the show by saying the stars were out for the Hollywood team last night. Let's start with Kershaw. How did he dominate this game?
First of all, did you see the grin on his face postgame? When was the last time you saw him smiling like that in October? But really, Greeny, what he did was the swing and miss. For him to be able, there were 38 swings on his pitches within the strike zone. 19 of them were missed. To put that in perspective, that's 50%. He has never had 50% swing and miss in any start, in any regular season game, postseason. Think about his career. He was dominant. We talked about that first inning where he struggled. After that, flat out, sit down. Every single Tampa Bay Rays hitter that came up to the plate, he did not give them a chance. They could never get into this ballgame, Greeny.
No, they couldn't, and part of the reason then was the other of the two Dodgers stars, and that's Mookie Betts. So when I woke up this morning, Jessica, the name Mike Trout was trending, and I thought to myself, what happened with Mike Trout? People are now comparing Mookie Betts and saying he's the best player in baseball all around, not Trout. When you hear that, what's your reaction?
Mike Trout's not playing in the postseason. I mean, this is the biggest stage. You get more fans, more people that weren't watching in the regular season. Let's be real. Mike Trout is still the best player in baseball. But Mookie Betts, what he has done, first of all, the doubles, the singles, but the stolen bases, he manufactured a run. He stole second, stole third, and by the way, pretty much stole home because it was a ground ball. Did you see the jump on that? I mean, he was able to get home by a walk, stolen base, and then coming, and then the home run to cap it off. I mean, this is showcasing just what really amazing baseball players can do in the postseason. Mike Trout isn't here. We can't see him. Everyone else isn't able to watch Mike Trout, but they can see Mookie Betts.
That's right. And again, when Mookie Betts has an inning that no one has had since Babe Ruth in 1921, you know something special is happening. All right, Jessica, stay close by. We'll preview game two a little bit later with you in this program. Thank you. Meanwhile, to the NFL we go. And after the Cowboys' embarrassing home loss on Monday night, reports surfacing yesterday from NFL Network citing anonymous Cowboys players criticizing the coaching staff. The head coach, Mike McCarthy, addressed that last night.
I haven't been part of any of those type of discussions. I think, like a lot of things, when you hit a part of your season or any challenge where there is negativity out there and where it comes from and who it comes from, I mean, that's something that, you know, I've never chased, but I think you do have to recognize it. I think it's important to handle things as men. I mean, if you do have something to say publicly that is of, you know, of most importance, I think it's important to say it to the individual, particularly in a group dynamic setting, and especially in a game of football, especially for the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, and so my crew is ready to go. Dominique and Ryan and Desmond and Dan Graziano. And Nick, I will start with you. We've now reached the predictable stage of the season where the Cowboys are anonymously criticizing the coach. What's your reaction?
I mean, I think it doesn't really matter necessarily. This is what happens when you're on a bad team is people chirp and get upset. And McCarthy's talking about, I wish that people would say it to my face. That's what everyone says, but no one really wants people to come in and tell them that they stink at their job. And the bottom line is, he's not good at his job right now. And that's all that matters. I know much was made of how McCarthy was going to come in and he was going to be the tough guy that was going to whip everybody in shape like he was Principal Joe Clark. That doesn't work. All that works is putting people in position to do the right thing and to succeed. If you're a tough guy talking trash and you put people in position to succeed, they will like and respect you. If you're a soft guy who wants to talk to people and build relationships, if you put them in position to succeed, they will respect and like you. That's all you have to do is I know I make it sound easy when you say that's all you have to do, but the job is to be a good coach and prepare your team, and all the other ancillary stuff is irrelevant.
Well, RC, I sort of want to pick it up there because I'm old enough to remember when Mike McCarthy was supposed to be exactly what the Cowboys needed after all that time where Jason Garrett was too easy on the players and he was going to come in and shake things up and be the disciplinarian that team needed. That wasn't that long ago, RC. What happened?
Listen, you can't behave like Bill Parcells and Bill Belichick and lose football games because then all you become is Eric Mangini and Matt Patricia. And that's what we're seeing here. He hasn't developed those relationships. He hasn't been in that locker room and gotten to points with players where they respect him, where players feel like they can come to him, where they feel like there's a way that I can go talk to Mike McCarthy and let him know I don't think that these things are going well, and not only be respected, but respect him as I go there. And so if you're going to behave this way, if you are going to puff your chest out and say, you know what, these are conversations we should have man to man, you should be doing your jobs. Make no mistake about it. This is what happens when you are losers, right? This is a symptom of losing. Losing is the disease. And when you have a room full of losers, when you have an organization full of losers, and the one leader that you at least have is now on IR, these things start to surface. And so now you have a team of players that aren't doing their jobs, obviously, that are looking for someone else to blame it on. And Mike McCarthy is the obvious target because he ain't Jason Garrett, because he's not their friend. He's not their guy. So for Mike McCarthy, it's going to be about winning. and getting them to do the right things on the field, like Dominique says, not about face-to-face, man-to-man, let's see who's more swole conversations.
So, Desmond, now what? Now you're a player on a team and you walk in and everyone has seen this. Everyone is aware that some of their teammates, if you're not one of them, who has been anonymously calling out the coach, what happens now in Dallas? Did we lose Desmond? He's frozen by the genius of my question. Let me turn to you then, Dan Graziano, if I can.
You know what? He's frozen like these Big Ten offices this week.
No. Don't start picking on my favorite conference.
Ahead.
There's no need for that. We're in such a good rhythm here. Let's not get off track. All right, Desmond is back. Desmond, you're a player in that locker room.
Am I good?
Well, yeah, you're good. What happens now? Okay. Right? Your teammates are criticizing the coaches and all this stuff is going on, and now you're in there trying to do your job. Right. What happens now?
I have a little different take than RC and Neek. I think that when Neek mentioned, you know, no coach wants to be told to his face that he's doing a terrible job. Well, guess what, Neek? No player wants to be told to his face that he's doing a terrible job either. I mean, when you turn on the tape, you know, I'm like, what's this? You know, if you sit in my office, I'm going to say, okay, well, you think I'm not doing my job. Let's look at this tape right quick, buddy. Who's this not chasing this play down? Who's this guy not filling the gap? Who's this guy getting beat deep because – I mean, so it's a two-way street. Now, I look at it like they're dealing with grown men. We all play in the NFL, Neek, RC. Listen, you're responsible for what you put on tape. Whether you believe in the scheme or not, whether you think it works or not, that's besides the point. You know why? Because you're playing for another contract. Whether Mike McCarthy makes it in Dallas or not, that's none of your business. You know why? Because you want to have a long career. And the only way you're going to do that is to go out there and do your damn job. Now, the second part is you have absolutely no leadership in the locker room. You know why? Because there's a Tekashi in the locker room. And you're letting him infiltrate the whole locker room.
No, a snitch.
He's going out there now telling beat reporters, I don't like this. Coach can't do that. So you got to get the Tekashi out the locker room. This is the time where you need to have a team meeting and try to squash all of that. You might not be able to salvage your season, but personally,
you had me up until the team meeting.
Selfishly, you might want to get things a little better.
Meetings.
You had us all up until you called the team meeting. Because all that's going to happen at the team meeting is everybody going to lie. Nobody going to be like, I said it. Like, it's a waste of time. You can have the Monday morning meeting that you have after the game, and you go ahead and say, look here, somebody talking trash. You got something to say, say it. Then everybody gets quiet. Nobody raises their hand. No one says what they was whispering about. The bottom line is everyone has to do their job, and I agree with you. You're playing for a contract. You're not playing for Mike McCarthy necessarily. But if you believe that Mike McCarthy is putting you in position that is shortening your career or putting you in position that does not make you look good, whether it's right or wrong, you could be upset at that. All of us have been on teams where coaches have made mistakes, been on teams where players have made mistakes. I think it's bad to be pointing fingers behind people's back, but I do understand the frustration.
Absolutely.
If it is
bad,
true,
right.
If they are not properly preparing them, I completely understand the frustration because you're putting my career in jeopardy.
Go ahead, Dez. Oh, he froze
again.
Can you believe this? It's the best conversation that we've had all season, and it keeps freezing. But I'll handle it gracefully because I'm a pro. So, RC, let me come back to you then on that thought, which is, doesn't there need to be, now maybe this is just a person who never played talking, but doesn't someone need to get up in the middle of that locker room, whether it's a player, probably can't be a coach at this point, it has to be a player, and say, guys, this nonsense stops now. Anyone has anything to say, they say it out loud in this room right now, and then that's going to be the end of that, because if no leader steps forward and does something, this thing is just going down the tubes. And, oh, by the way, this team is still in first place. Doesn't someone need to do that, RC?
No, you know what a leader needs to do? A leader in this locker room right now needs to point a finger at themselves, whether it's DeMarcus Lawrence or Jalen Smith or
Zeke.
Ezekiel Elliott needs to get into the middle of the locker room and say, I fumbled the ball twice. I put us in a bad position. It doesn't matter what Mike McCarthy is doing. I did this. And not say, hey, we all need to get better, or we all need to stop snitching, or we all need to band this thing together and keep everything in the locker room. Somebody needs to get up and show accountability. Somebody needs to stand up and say, this is how you do it, and this is how we will do it moving forward. What this shows me is not only is it a loser's mentality, but there's no one to follow. See, it's not about leading and what your word says. It's about your actions. And if somebody in that locker room who people respect, at least from a monetary standpoint, finally stands up and say, you know what? I have to be better. I'm not worried about you. I'm not worried about Tekashi 6ix9ine. I'm not worried about the fact that 50 Cent was his mentor. I'm worried about me. I'm going to focus on me this week. And then that tells the rest of the people in the locker room that maybe you should focus on yourself, too.
And I'm going to make Dominic Foxworth's day by handing him this one, which is, Neek, if Dak Prescott was still there right now, don't you think that things would be a little bit better than they are in Dallas?
I mean, the nonsense that people have been saying about Dak is based on that first season when it seems like that team was really talented and they were carrying him. And everyone's kept that narrative going as if it was true. I think if this week's game proved anything, it proved that the opposite was true. It turns that all on its head, that Dak was the one person keeping this nonsense together. And losing Dak has really exposed them for their terrible team that they've kind of been all season. The one game they won wasn't really a win as much as it was the Falcons giving it away. And the fact that they've been competitive in these games has been in large part a credit to Dak Prescott. So I know Dak loves his teammates and he wasn't celebrating when they lost that game, but I bet his agent sure was happy when he saw Andy Dalton go out there and throw that thing away, because it shows how important and how valuable he really is.
You know what his agent was doing, Dom? You know what he was doing? They was on the phone talking about money, money. Yeah, money, money. Because that's just what we saw in this game. It's not only about the fact that Dak Prescott's not there to lead. It's that this team hasn't looked like this. They haven't had to accept that they were this bad until Dak Prescott wasn't there to save him. Dak Prescott wasn't there to make a miraculous comeback and make this seem like a semblance of a football game. A quarterback completed 9 passes against the Dallas Cowboys, and they got blown out of the AT&T Stadium. There exactly is right. No amount of phone service that can make that call work.
Okay, let me leave that thought there for just a moment. We didn't get to any of the other things I was planning, which is actually excellent. Let me bring Dan Graziano into the conversation for a minute here, my insider, because I'm wondering who is laughing at this conversation and sitting back and enjoying this more right now. Is it Dak Prescott and his agent, or is it Jason Garrett in New York saying, oh, maybe it really wasn't all my fault what happened there?
Yeah, look, I mean, Jason Garrett's not wishing ill on the current Cowboys, but it's a good point that this never happened when Garrett was there. As bad as things got, you never heard anonymous sniping from inside the locker room from players. It was always together. So look, I think what we're seeing in Dallas is, obviously Mike McCarthy and his coaching staff have not made the connection with the players that team ownership thought they would, obviously, when they brought them in. Losing early obviously makes that more difficult, and you start to hear this behind the scenes. But this level of frustration this early in the season is a significant issue for the Dallas Cowboys, and the message here is not, oh, they should have kept Jason Garrett. The message is, as we look ahead to the next coach carousel coming up here in a few months, if you're going to get rid of a guy, you got to be really careful and really certain about who you bring in to replace
it. No question about it. We're going to save the Tua stuff, Nick, for a little bit later. There's no way to get it all in here. So let me just go back, if I can, Cindy, if I can get back to Ryan Clark and Dominique and Desmond, just quickly for 1 minute, let me just wrap it up with this. Because the Cowboys are still in first place in the NFC East. Dominique, are they going to win that division?
I don't think so. I think the Eagles somehow pulled it together. They've been playing better in recent weeks.
RC?
I absolutely agree with Dominique. Better quarterback, I believe a better coach, and a team that seems to be really fighting. I got the Eagles finding a way to win the NFC East.
How about one more? Desmond Howard. Who's going to win that division? The Cowboys, the Eagles? I mean, everyone theoretically is in it. Do the Cowboys win the division?
That's unanimous for the Eagles. I agree with RC and Neek. I think they have a better quarterback. I think they're fighters, and they don't have a Tekashi in the locker room.
Okay, no rainbow listen. Hair. No. Yeah. Well,
we're going to see the Eagles hair. Playing tomorrow night against the Giants. If they lose that game, the Giants will have as many wins as anyone in the division. All right, can I run the hurry up here with Graziano to finish this up, and then we'll come back. I don't mean to produce the show from sitting out here, but look, that conversation took us places we didn't expect, and it was well worth doing. So let's run the hurry up if we can. Someone tell me we're ready. Beautiful. Graziano, let's start with Christian McCaffrey. What's the latest on him?
Christian McCaffrey still out with that high ankle sprain. Seems likely to miss this week's game and possibly week 8 as well, mainly because the Carolina Panthers play a Thursday game that week. So you're talking about him being ready 8 days from now as opposed to, you know, a week and a half from now. So don't count on McCaffrey this week, and keep an eye out. He may have to miss week 8 as well, but they're hoping he comes back soon after that. There's non-injury news and Cowboys news, incidentally, that's actually good. They could be getting some reinforcements on the defensive side of the ball. Randy Gregory, who has not played the last since two seasons ago because of a suspension, has been activated. He's come off suspension. He's eligible to play this week against Washington, and we're told he's looked great in practice. Certainly, the Cowboys need help on the defensive side of the ball, and their hope is they can get a jolt there with Randy Gregory. And looking ahead, we are now 13 days ahead of the NFL trade deadline, and one of the most interesting things to watch this year is going to be the wide receiver market. There are a lot of teams looking for wide receiver help. You look at New England, you look at Baltimore, you look at Green Bay, some teams that don't immediately jump to mind, but I'm sure they're out there, and people will remind me on Twitter. The guys are going to be available. Look at guys in the last years of their contracts. Cincinnati's got a couple guys in A.J. Green and John Ross. Houston's got a few of them, although they may not be eager to trade away more receivers from Deshaun Watson. Watch the wide receiver market as the trade deadline gets close.
Okay, so we are jam-packed, as you can tell. We didn't even get to Tua, but we will, because that's obviously huge news, and much more as we continue today. Coming up pretty soon is decision day for franchise quarterbacks. We'll ask our team if it's time to show panic or show patience with them, and things continue to go bad to worse in Dallas. Can they address their issues in time to salvage the season? All that and more. It's Fuego this morning. Get up on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com. All right, Ryan Clark, let's talk about this catch. Mount Vernon High School in Indiana. This is Tanner Kozoil. Tell me what you see on this grab.
Listen, this is what big-time players do. When you get an opportunity to make a play, you go out and you make it happen. And this is what it is. When you have this type of skill, you always need to show it. And that's what Tanner did.
He's going to Ball State. He's a Ball State commit. His team is undefeated. Coming up, this man's team is not. Baker Mayfield struggling to elevate the Browns. Whose fault is it? And what happens now? We'll talk about it. Get Up on ESPN. We are back on Get Up. And the big news of yesterday was Tua Tagovailoa. It's Tua time in Miami. The number 5 overall pick will emerge from the Week 7 bye as the Dolphins starting quarterback, according to our Adam Schefter. His first test will be November 1st. Welcome to the NFL, kid. Here's Aaron Donald and the Rams, and he will have some big shoes to fill right now. Ryan Fitzpatrick is playing great. He ranks in the top 10 in both QBR and completion percentage and has the team just one game back of the Bills for first place in the AFC East. And frankly, if you follow them, you see their losses have been pretty good, too. They had a lead in the fourth quarter against Seattle. They had a chance to win that game that they've lost earlier against Buffalo. So, Dominique, does this move make sense to you to make right now?
Yeah, I think you get better by getting experience and getting out on the field. I like them putting him out there. The one criticism I would have of this move, I can't have that criticism of them because of Brian Flores. So I think back to last season when we all thought they were tanking, and I was very critical because of what I thought it does to a culture. When you say we're playing for the future, that debilitates a team that wants to win right now. But Brian Flores somehow brought them from 0-7 start to being respectable because he was able to build a culture in that environment. I also think if you're going to pull out a starting quarterback that's playing pretty well to bring in a young guy, that suggests to your team that you are playing for the future. But I think Brian Flores has proven that that doesn't matter. Whatever connection that he has with his team is a connection that Mike McCarthy clearly doesn't have with his team in Dallas, but it's a connection that allows you to make some decisions that seem not all that wise, but also resonate with your team.
RC, you're an LSU guy, so no one knows the Alabama quarterback better than the LSU guy. What do you expect from him quickly?
What you expect from Tua is to get the ball out of his hands, to be accurate, and to understand what the game plan is, whether that's use Gaskin, Gesicki, or we're going to go outside to Preston Williams and Devontae Parker. This is going to be a run and catch team early on in Tua Tagovailoa's acclimation, and I believe they understand that, and that's why you want to have these 2 weeks, a bye week in between his first start, to get him settled and to get your team playing in the way that Tua needs them to.
Obviously, Desmond Howard, you cover the college game for us at the highest possible level. You saw all the things. We don't need to go over again. The terrible injury that he suffered at the end of his collegiate career. Now he sits and waits and gets his chance. What are your thoughts on the way this all played out for Tua, and what do you expect?
Well, I think it couldn't have played out better for Tua. I mean, for a young man to go through the collegiate season that he had with those injuries and still get picked in the first round, I think it's tremendous. Now, moving forward, I believe that Brian Flores and his staff, they love what they see from this young man in practice. They feel as though there's no longer a reason to hold him back. I understand what Fitzpatrick has done for this organization, but now they're playing for the future. And let's face it, I mean, Tua is a guy who, Ryan said, he's amazingly accurate. Only thing he has to do, his biggest problem was holding on to the ball too long, trying to make plays, and that's how he ended up dislocating his hip. So if he's erased that from his game, and we won't know until we see him out there on the field, but they know because they see him every day at practice, then I think he'll be okay. And he does have weapons like Penn State's tight end, Gasecki. He has the wideouts on the outside. That means he can get the ball out and get the ball out in rhythm, too. So I think this is going to be an interesting move. Now, with the bye week, I understand another week of preparation. But then you got to face one of the best, if not the best, defensive linemen in all college, in all of the NFL, and Aaron Donald. That may be an issue because he's going to be looking at Donald when he's in his cadence.
We'll see how that plays out. Brian Flores, the coach of the Dolphins, is meeting with the media in about 10 minutes, so we'll be able to turn some of what he says around and play it back for you. Meanwhile, Graziano, I know you were talking to a lot of people yesterday. Take us into the thinking of Brian Flores and the Dolphins on the timing.
Yeah, if basically they believe that Tua gives them the best shot to win now and attain their goals, which are, you know, the postseason. They're a game out of first place. So it's not a let's see the kid, we're not going anywhere this year anyway kind of move. So they decided they wanted to give him that two-week window during the bye week. The bye week, because of the rescheduling, got moved up from week 11 to week 7. So they look and say, is he ready now? Do we want to put that plan into place? And the answer was yes. Dominique's point, very important. Brian Flores has the trust of his team. Last year, when the external talk was, are they tanking? Flores is saying, no, we're not. And he had Josh Rosen playing quarterback that they were trying to take a look at for the future. He switched to Fitzpatrick. And when I asked people why, I was told, look, it was so obvious in practice that Fitzpatrick gave them the better chance. There's no way Flores could have sold the we're not tanking narrative internally if he didn't make that move. So his team trusts him, and they believe him now when he says Tua is a move to help us win now.
And so might they win this division? That's the object of my poll today. So you can go to my Twitter page at ESPN Greeny and vote. Who will win the AFC East? Those are the options that I put up today. Will it be the Bills, the Dolphins, the Patriots, or other?
Anybody else. Could be anybody else.
It could be, I mean, it could end in a tie.
Green team.
They could decide not to finish the season.
Team.
There are any number of things that could happen. So you can vote for other if you'd like to. Right now, that has 3% of the vote. All right, let's talk about quarterbacks that are struggling. RC, is it time for panic or patience in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins?
Did Trey not panic when the car stopped and screamed, Ricky? Because that's how I feel right now. It is boys in the hood for me. Kirk Cousins, the guy who you bet the farm on, you've given two different contracts, has wide receivers on the outside, but just can't win. Three interceptions against the Atlanta Falcons, who just fired their head coach. When you're in Minnesota and you're thinking that Kirk Cousins can lead you to the promised land, you are obviously delusional. It is time to panic, and it should have been in the offseason.
Dez, panic or patience in New York with Daniel Jones.
Everybody relax and be patient. Don't forget, this young man had an outstanding rookie campaign. 24 touchdown passes, led all rookie quarterbacks with that number. Now he has a new offensive coordinator. He's trying to learn this system. Don't forget, we had the COVID-19 during the offseason, so it affected everybody. But it doesn't affect anyone more so than a quarterback who's trying to learn the new system. He's going to start eliminating those turnovers, though, because those are in his hands. I say be patient.
Neek, panic or patience for Baker in Cleveland?
I absolutely think it's panic for Baker in Cleveland. It's patience for that coaching staff, and I think Andrew Berry, the general manager, they just got there. They're new, so I think it's patience for them. But I think Baker's future is very much in question, considering the fact that they need to decide on that fifth-year option at the end of this year, and he's shown us nothing that suggests that he's anything above an average quarterback. And Boys in the Hood was on BET last night. I watched it too, Ryan. Is that what brought in your mind? Ricky Baker, great running back.
BET. BET still shows movies?
Let's talk a little bit more about Baker Mayfield for a moment here, if we can. This is year three, and so far this season, he is struggling to find his form. Ranks among the bottom third among quarterbacks in any number of statistics. So he's not playing well. And yesterday, Marcus Spears minced no words on this show talking about him.
We went through coaches. We went through acquiring all the talent. We went through creating the playbook and the offensive plan to hide your deficiencies. He's an average quarterback to below average. That's who he is.
That got a lot of attention yesterday, Ryan Clark. Swagoo saying he is an average to below average quarterback. RC, is that true?
Yeah, Marcus ain't told no lies yet, and he wasn't going to start yesterday, because that is absolutely true. When I looked at the league and went around the divisions, there's about 22 quarterbacks I can say offhand that I would take before Baker Mayfield. And in a 32-team league, that makes you below average. Himbo shot me a stat this morning after the meetings against winning teams. He is 4-13. He has 29 turnovers to 24 touchdowns. That's below average quarterback play. And so you can look at it with your eyes and say, from my experience, this doesn't seem like a winning quarterback. But when the numbers tell you the same thing, if I'm the Cleveland Browns, I truly have to start questioning, what do I do with Baker Mayfield, and can he be my answer and quarterback of the future?
Well, and Dan Graziano, let's explain why this season is so critical towards exactly that point.
First round picks have fifth year options on their contract. You have to decide prior to year four whether you're picking up the fifth year option. So that means next May, the Browns have to make that decision on Baker Mayfield, whether they pick up his 2022 option. And under the new CBA, those options are fully guaranteed at the time that they are executed. It used to be only guaranteed against injury, and you could still back out of it if you had a bad year. Now they have to decide by next May whether they want to guarantee Baker Mayfield a 2022 season for something in the neighborhood of $25 or $30 million. The way he plays the rest of the year is going to go a long way toward making that decision for them.
So, Dominique, let's play a fun game of first guessing this. Let's not react after the fact. Let's first guess it. When this season is over, do you believe the Browns will pick up the fifth-year option on Baker Mayfield?
No, not at all. I'm not sure what you point to give you some hope going forward. I understand he was a number one overall pick, but he has the body type that is unusual to succeed in that position. He used to have accuracy that made him special. That seems to be gone, and he hasn't really done anything special, even in the games that they won this year. Like, he played okay. He was all right, but they won because that running attack was very special. I'm not sure that there's very many quarterbacks in the league or starting quarterbacks in the league that couldn't do what he did in those games. So you're waiting for him to show something that's really unique and outstanding that is warrants the number one overall pick or warrants your future going forward. He hasn't really done it, at least not consistency. You can think of a couple games here and there where the expectations were low and he met or exceeded those expectations. But when the expectations were high, he's fallen short time and time again, and I hate to see it because I like the personality. I like the brash. I personally like the commercials. He's a phenomenal actor, but you got to learn how to throw some touchdowns and not interceptions in this league if you want to hang around and keep getting those commercials.
Right, and if not, the future might be in acting more than it is in football. I don't mean to be funny, but that's the reality. That's where Mitchell Trubisky is right now, without a deal for next year, and that's where Baker could be this time next season.
No,
meanwhile, let me get up and go through some of the other news of yesterday. The Washington football team still might be going by that name next year. That's according to their team president, Jason Wright. He cited the NFL's deliberate approval process as the reason. Not to mention a lot of people seem to like it, but that's neither here nor there. Elsewhere, the Saints and the city of New Orleans announced an agreement to have a limited number of fans starting Sunday. They'll start with 3,000 tickets for season ticket holders. And if the numbers on COVID cases remain stable, attendance could increase next month. Woj breaking some NBA news yesterday. The Indiana Pacers have agreed to a multi-year deal to hire Raptors assistant Nate Bjorkgren as their head coach. He replaces Nate McMillan, who was dismissed after consecutive sweeps in the first round of the playoffs. Our next Soccer Sunday is El Tráfico. Diego Rossi, Bradley Wright Phillips, and LAFC taking on the LA Galaxy. The next LA Derby, Sunday, 3:30 Eastern. It's on ABC, on ESPN Deportes, and you can see it on the ESPN app. Coming up in what may have been the best game of the weekend, you got the Steelers and the Titans. Big Ben, Ryan Tannehill, who you got? Neek will answer that question and more next.
Remember that National Vote Early Day is October 24th. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
I don't know the question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering that. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
And it is the time where I will ask a series of hard-hitting, probing questions to Dominique Foxworth, and whether he's ready to or not, he has to answer them, and here's the first. With the current state of the NFC East, I raised this yesterday. Should a team be allowed to host a playoff game if they are under 500, yes or no?
I think the answer is no. I think I agree with you. Previously, you said they shouldn't be able to get into the playoffs, and I disagree with that wholeheartedly because I don't want to erase the consequences of an entire division. However, if this potentially creates more drama at the end of the season, where if you are the one decent team in a bad division, you still have to play towards the end of the season to earn your home field advantage, like anything that increases the stakes in late season games, that's what makes the NFL different from the rest of these leagues, is all the games seem to matter. So I think this does create the opportunity for those games to matter in a season when there's a division that is just putrid, which NFC East is now.
Excuse me if I seem thrown. No one ever agrees with my crazy ideas. So you and I together, like most geniuses, will not be fully appreciated until well after our time. Next, Tua starting. Herbert looks good. Burrow looks good. Which rookie quarterback ends this season with the most wins?
So I'm going to go out on a limb and say Tua. I think Tua was the most talented quarterback. He slid in the draft because of injuries. I know we saw that what Burrow did in LSU was really special that season, but Burrow is saddled with a team that doesn't have very much talent in a division that has plenty of it. So I think it's going to be hard for him to get any more than one or two wins. I think Tua has a chance to get several. And I believe that Herbert is off to a good start, probably a better start than his talent suggests. And I don't think that that team is coached all that well, to be frank with you. The decisions, late game situations, put him in a tough spot. So I don't see them, despite how much talent they have out there, I don't see the LA Chargers winning more than the Dolphins from this point forward.
Okay, finally, huge game Sunday, game of the weekend. Unbeaten Steelers, unbeaten Titans. Which quarterback do you have more confidence in, Big Ben or Ryan Tannehill?
Too bad Ryan's not here to yell at me, Ryan Clark, that is, because I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill. And I know Ben's done it before, and Ben is throwing the ball down the field. He's showing no ill effects of that arm right now, and he doesn't have the good fortune, or the bad fortune, that is, that Ryan Tannehill has of going up against that Steelers defense. But Ryan Tannehill has been playing at an astronomically good level since he came into the starting job at Tennessee. And I do think some of it is because of the situation and the system around them, and the fact that that offense is geared around King Henry, and Ryan Tannehill can eat so easily in the play action off of that, but he's been doing it. And there's lots of quarterbacks. We can go back a segment ago and talk about Baker Mayfield that has a tremendous running attack and great receivers and still can't somehow put together consistently great performances. And Tannehill's done it. When they're down, he showed the ability to come back. When they're up, he showed the ability to make the good passes in the situations that you needed. I really do have a little bit more confidence in Ryan Tannehill right now than I do Ben Roethlisberger.
Fair enough. That is, without question, the biggest game of the NFL weekend. Dominique Foxworth answering the questions. That's the NFL piece of this. Now, I will remind you that we're only 2 days away from the return of Big Ten football. Wisconsin-Illinois is Friday night. Desmond Howard, you'll be in Minnesota for their game against Michigan this weekend. Let's run the option. What are you most looking forward to?
I'm excited to see this Minnesota team. I mean, last year, at one point during the season, they were actually ranked ninth in the country. And then Wisconsin came to town. They disrupted that. But they have Tanner Morgan, great quarterback, led the Big Ten in touchdowns last year, 30 touchdowns, only 7 interceptions. And Rashad Bateman, he's a young man, and his talent is so great that he opted out, but he opted back in. Wide receiver that can do it all. Really excited to see this Minnesota team under P.J. Fleck. And, of course, they play Michigan. Now, Michigan, they have a quarterback by the name of Joe Milton. Now, rumors out of Ann Arbor, he's the most talented quarterback that Harbaugh's had since he's been in Ann Arbor. 6'5", 240, can make all the throws, extremely athletic, and a guy who his teammates just absolutely love him right now. So watching him against Minnesota is going to be very exciting. Of course, everyone wants to see Ohio State, right? Justin Fields. You couldn't hear Trevor Lawrence's name mentioned during the offseason without hearing Justin Fields. Fields is a guy who people think has the potential to win the Heisman, and people think that this Ohio State team could actually end up in the college football playoff. So watching Ohio State as they play host to the Nebraska Cornhuskers, another team that was very excited to play during the pandemic. They wanted to make sure they had a game, and now they get the Buckeyes right out the gate. So that's going to be a very interesting game, watching the Cornhuskers versus the Buckeyes, Greeny.
No question. What are your biggest concerns? Everyone will point to Ohio State as the best team in the conference and the one with the best chance to win it all. What is their biggest concern as their season begins?
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The biggest concern is who's going to play running back, who's going to replace J.K. Dobbins. I mean, he was a phenomenal running back, over 2,000 yards, average over 6 yards per carry. And when Justin Fields struggled, Greeny, don't forget Ryan Day is a brilliant play caller. J.K. Dobbins is the guy they leaned on very heavily. I mean, they just give it to him, and he can break long runs. Guy who's built low to the ground but had enough breakaway speed that linebackers and safeties, they couldn't catch him. So how are they going to replace the productivity of J.K. Dobbins is one of the biggest issues I have. I know that Justin Fields is an incredible talent, but they don't have the running back behind them this year that they had in 2019.
Absolutely. And I know you and I, sitting here as alums of Big Ten schools, this is real football. Everyone should be ready. Real football. Nothing
Absolutely.
Says football like 2nd and 7, right? Nothing says real football like a first down, a 3-yard run. Everybody gets up. This is what we're looking for, right?
That's right, exactly. I can't wait.
Big Ten football, it's 2nd and 7. All right,
yes, sir.
And the season begins this weekend. And Saturday, we have the oldest trophy game in college football history. He just mentioned it. Number 21 Minnesota hosting number 18 Michigan for the Little Brown Jug. That game and so many more. That game 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. Great to have the Big Ten back and better than ever. Coming up, injuries, poor performance, now finger pointing. Just how bad have things gotten in Dallas, and how can they be repaired? That's on the way. Get up on ESPN.